following podcast may contain some adult language. You've been warned.
Those of you who got an invite, welcome to Nerd Prom.
No matter where in the world you are, we're all Nerds International. With the hyphen.
Good evening, folks. Welcome to Finding the Narrative, the Genesis RPG podcast. I'm Tony Fanning. I'm one of your hosts. With me is my good friend Chris Holmes. How you doing, Chris?
Dude, I am doing great. This is our first podcast. That's my first podcast ever. Yours too, huh?
Yep. I mean, I've been on as a guest on one or two, but nothing major.
Me too. Same here.
So I had a tentative title for this episode, calling it Episode Zero. Who the
exactly?
who are we? Why do we want to do this podcast? What's it all about?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be kind of our session zero when you start a new campaign. So we're starting a new campaign to find this narrative with Genesis.
So we make it. Yes. We may get lost along the way, but...
we might, so, you know, bear with us, everybody. So let's see. So let's get into some geek cred here, or nerd cred, as I should say. So when did you start gaming, Nerd Tony?
Well, let's see. It was the good old year of 1983, I do believe. I was about 10 years old or so. My brother and I, we got a red box. I'm not 100% sure how we got it of D&D.
Statute of limitations, man. It's been a while.
yeah. And we started running solo adventures for each other, my stepbrother and I.
Cool.
And then we met some friends in Boy Scouts and started gaming with those folks. And believe it or not, I've been gaming with most of those guys for going on 30 years now. I still game with them. In fact, last night I gamed with them.
Dude, that is so freaking cool, dude.
So, yeah, we've played every edition of D&D. We've played every edition of Star Wars. We've played, I cannot count how many different game systems through the years. We just recently, in the last 2.5 years, started playing the FFG Star Wars, or the Genesis system. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that's where I come from.
I can just about say ditto to that, to be totally honest with you, because 1983, man, my buddy Scott showed me the red box. And I think that Christmas of 83, I ended up getting it or buying it for myself. And maybe I had money, I don't know. But I know I went to Toys R Us and bought my own. Remember them selling them at Toys R Us?
We didn't have a Toys R Us near me back then.
Okay, yeah, well, that's where I got mine. And yeah, I've played every version of D&D. Haven't played, the only version of Star Wars that I've played is the narrative dice system, the FFG version. Now, didn't play the D6 version or the D20 version that came out in the early 2000s. But, you know, I've played a lot of different RPGs. I played Savage Worlds before it was Savage Worlds. That one was called Deadlands. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Played a bit of Hackmaster, got a couple campaigns that I'm... One campaign that I'm running right now for 5th edition D&D, and then going to be starting up a Starfinder campaign here in a couple weeks with my Hackmaster group, and it's all good. So got a lot of... And I've been playing the narrative dice system for ever since the Age of Rebellion beta came out. So that was probably, what, about 4 years ago, maybe? Mm-hmm. Because I know every... Yeah, so... Yeah, so that's what we've been doing.
Yeah, what got me into the narrative dice system originally, actually, was I saw the book in the store, and so I went online, started looking mm-hmm. for podcasts where they had live plays of it. And I found this live play from a group called The Gathering of Dorks.
Oh, yeah. those guys.
And and a couple others out there. So this is where I'm going to shout out to our community here, because the Gathering of Dorks ended up morphing into our Nerds International Network that we're a part of.
With a hyphen.
Nerds hyphen International.
Yep.
And then, I don't know, about, well, it was about when Genesis was announced.
Okay.
I kind of got with Jamie, told him I was interested in either doing a blog or a podcast, Jamie Pearson, that is. And he said, well, you know, wait till time gets closer and we'll see. That'd be great. He kept encouraging me to do a podcast, encourage. You know, Jamie is.
Yep.
And so when Con on the Cob came around and we all met for the first time.
Face to face, which was awesome.
I approached you and started talking about doing this show, and we've been working on getting it up and running ever since.
Yeah, man. Yeah, ever since like November, we've been talking about it and getting together, getting things together, and I don't know. So I think what we've come up with is, you know, we've named it Finding the Narrative, because, you know, we want to have a more story oriented games, and this narrative dice system is really called to us both. It's really spoke to me, and it's kind of changed the way I've gamed, and improved the way that I've gamed, actually playing in other systems too. So
yeah, same here. I have, it's improved the way I GM. It keeps me a little more on my toes when I'm GMing other systems. I've got, you know, I didn't say I got lazy with other systems, but it depending on the system, certain mechanics just didn't make things easy to create a story. And in this system, for some reason, the story just flows for me. And it works for me.
I'm not sure if it's about the mechanics versus story. I think the mechanics of this system really engages the other players too. Because everybody wants to look at the dice results and see, oh man, you know, what are you going to come up with that? You know, like, oh, you got a success and some advantages, and oh, you got a triumph, and it kind of, I don't know, it just seems to me it just engaged the players a little bit more about that. I think one of the things we want to talk about in this show is the system, the narrative dice system. I think that's what this first episode will be about after we've talked about ourselves a little more. Sure. I think that's kind of the way we want our show to flow, is we're going to pull something out of the book, talk about it, and then you have a system, you have a setting you want to convert, I have a setting I'm converting, and we're going to take maybe what we talk about in kind of the first segment about what we pull out of the rule book and how we're integrating that into our systems, or into our settings that we're converting over to Genesis, and then talk about our settings, you know, what progress maybe we have made, those kinds of things. Then we've got a little what do you call it? We got a neat little segment called Advantageous Threats, where we're gonna give each other a dice pool, a little thing, and we're gonna kind of react and see how we're going to go through it. How would we adjudicate it as a DM, and whatnot?
How would we narrate the dice?
Yeah, how would we narrate the dice? That's right.
Today's topic that we're eventually going to get to here in a minute, we'll be building dice. Yes, building dice pools, and we have our advantageous threat section. We're going to have other sections we'll do later in other episodes. We hope to cover every section of the book eventually.
Yeah.
But we're going to slowly go through this. My setting, I have very little done for. It's building from the ground up. Your setting, you had already got a ton of information on. You and your friends had set that up, and I thought that was really neat. I think it's a perspective that we give to people. Like, I'm building one from scratch. You're kind of just
tweaking. There's already a setting that exists out there for another gaming system, and it's just a matter of taking that and making it Genesisized. Whatever the, that's probably a new word. I don't know.
Genesis-y?
Genesis-y. That's right. But I think it's those kinds of things are what we wanna bring to this show. You know, to you guys, we have what would that be, dude? We're like 70 years of gaming experience between the two of us, or over 60 years of gaming.
Oh, you just made my brain hurt, man.
I know that did. Dude, since 83? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Dude, we're already in 2018, man. That's 35 years.
Okay.
I think my math is right.
We can stop talking about that now.
I think we're done with the cred, aren't we?
Yeah. So our expectations for the future of our show, we hope to put out an episode every couple of weeks. That might... in the near future, that might actually go to once a month, because my fiance and I are both searching for a home. We're buying a house, so scheduling wise, that might be a conflict. So, just so people know, we're going to try and do one or two a month. We're eventually going to get a regular format going and make a little more sense out of all this. Right now, we're just kind of flying by the seat of our pants.
Yep, pretty much.
So I have one other disclaimer I want to put out there just in case, because I come from three generations of military men, and I do occasionally swear and not notice that I've done it. So just in case, if I do use language that you might find offensive, I apologize now, and I probably won't apologize again.
Well, that's because I will be putting probably at the beginning of this show a disclaimer that there is going to be adult language, and if you are offended by that kind of stuff, you have the right to pause it now or filter it for your kids for later or whatever. So.
That's a good thing, because I don't know if I have a filter anymore.
We don't need filters. It's all good. Especially for this nerds, the nerds community that we're in. We don't need filters. No way. All right.
So shall we get on over to our main topic?
Let's get over to our main topic.
Righty then.
All right. So our main topic tonight... what are these funky dice, and how are we going to read them?
Yeah. So I happen to have in front of me the dice, just in case I needed them.
Sweet.
We have a rainbow color set of dice here that come in the package that comes with, or not, doesn't come with the book, but you can buy them separately.
Mm-hmm.
We have a green kind of, it's a D8. We've got a purple D8, yellow D8, or D12, sorry, and a dark red, almost maroon D12.
Yep.
And then a black D6 and a blue D6.
That's right. And those are, dice are positive dice and negative dice. So you're going to have, for our positive dice, we have the ability die, which is that green D8 that Tony was talking about. And that basically represents your natural ability, I guess. Is that fair to say there, Tony? That's kind of what that represents, I believe. Like your natural ability to do something. The yellow D12 is called a proficiency die, and that will represent your training in a skill, if you will. Whenever it's said to upgrade a die, an ability die, you would replace the green ability die with a proficiency die. That yellow one. And then the blue one is called a boost die. And the boost die, you would add those to your dice pool when you would want to give just special advantages, like, you know, with the environment, luck, chance, anything, you know, like that.
You would say a temporary conditional modifier of some kind.
Correct.
Positive
one. Right, like if you're aiming, or if a buddy of yours distracts a stormtrooper or a knight, you know, flashes, you know, if you're if you're Gandalf coming down the hill and you're you know, you're giving yourselves an advantage, you know, you're coming down a hill or whatever.
Okay.
I just watched Lord of the Rings a couple weeks ago. So.
I think we all have lately. It's like a Christmas tradition in my household.
Isn't
so.
It though? I know. I know.
All right, so the negative dice here. I have a purple die in front of me, and that is what we would call the difficulty die. The level of difficulty is determined by either it's hard-coded determined by the task itself or determined by the GM as they're playing. And you're going to have a number of difficulty dice in your pool from 0 to 5. And each one of those ratings has its own name. A simple check is 0 difficulty. And simple checks would be things like initiative checks. You don't need difficulty for that. You're just determining who goes first and when. Mm-hmm. And then the next die on the negative side I have is the challenge die. That's that red D12 that is used to upgrade the, in the same way that a proficiency die upgrades the ability die, the challenge die upgrades the difficulty dice. And that happens usually when a story point is spent or when there's an opposed check, and we'll discuss that later. Mm-hmm. But and then the last die is the black setback die, and that is another conditional modifier die, and this would be one that you'd put in for, like, there's smoke in the battlefield or you're fighting in the darkness or you have really, really sweaty palms and can't hold your sword.
or you have cover behind, like, some barrels or something like that.
Correct.
That's what that would be used for.
So on each of these dice, they have a set of weird symbols. We have, we've got what looks like on the ability die and the proficiency die, we have what looks like a sun. And yep. That is what it's called.
Or an explosion.
Yes, that is what is called a success. Mm-hmm. And on the various different sides, they have, there's some sides with one, there's some sides with two, and yep. Then some sides with a mix with this other symbol on here. Mm-hmm. What's that one called?
That would be the advantage. It looks like a triangle. You know, kind of an arrowhead pointing up. That would be your advantage symbol.
For us military guys, it looks kind of like a chevron.
Chevron. Yeah, that too. And, you know, there is a table on page 10, table 1-2, called the Genesis Dice Symbol Distribution. And that kind of lists out the dice and kind of how many, you know, what are on the different sides and whatnot. So there's a couple of blank sides on a couple of the dice, too.
So I didn't say I didn't have enough dice, or I didn't have any dice. Could I run with just this table?
You probably
and
could.
And use regular dice?
Absolutely, you could. It's going to take a little while to adjudicate it, though.
Take a little longer.
Yep. During the beta, I think they sent out, they gave you stickers to put on. I think during the Star Wars beta when they did that.
You're yeah.
Able to do it. Yep.
I fortunately got in after that, so I just went out and bought the dice.
Yeah. So what's special about these this big yellow die and this big red die, the proficiency die and a challenge die respectively, is you can have a triumph on your yellow die, which kind of looks like one of those bursts, explosions, suns inside of a circle, or you can have a despair, which has one of the X's, and that's kind of surrounded by a pointed circle kind of thing.
Yeah, like if you look at the despair, which we didn't discuss
those yet.
The negative symbols, mm-hmm. There's an X that is your failure symbol.
Yep.
And there is like a it's like a targeting reticle almost for your threat.
That's the closest. Yeah, I like that. That's a good description.
And then those two symbols combined make your despair symbol.
Oh, and so they do.
Yep, this despair symbol only appears on the red die, and the triumph symbol only appears on the yellow die.
Right.
And that's why you're always, those things will add tremendous narrative input into a scenario. So a lot of people will try to upgrade just to get chances for triumph. And as a GM, you want to see more chances for despair, because it's in those moments that you get to add narrative difficulty that makes, well, that makes it challenging. That's why it's on the challenge die.
Exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely. So we have all these symbols, man. What cancels what? How do we if we have roll all those dice, what could be these results?
Well, let's say I roll them.
Oh, you're rolling one. Oh, so I have to get out my dice, huh?
Oh, you don't have to. I just want to roll.
You're going to roll.
Oh, okay. Looky here. I got a pretty good solid roll. All right. So first thing I notice is that my I rolled all of them. Both of my conditional dice came up blank. So, nice. But my ability die came up with one chevron, so that's one advantage.
Yep.
And my proficiency die came up with two of the starbursts, so two success.
Cool.
And then my challenge die came up with one failure.
Okay.
And my difficulty die came up with one threat.
Excellent.
So what cancels what here? Well, the easiest way to do it for me, I always go immediately first to successes. I had two successes, one failure. That leaves me a balance of one success.
So you've succeeded.
Yep.
Okay.
Then I go to the other dice and or the other symbols and look. I didn't have any triumphs or despairs, so I don't have to worry about that.
Right.
But then I rolled, and my I had one advantage and one threat. Those cancel each other out. So my net for the entire roll is going to be one success, and that's it.
That's it. Yep.
Simple success. Mm-hmm. I succeeded. Yay.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you could with the narrative there, as you're saying that the say you put the black setback die in there because you were behind cover.
Okay.
Or wait a second, maybe because it was a little dark.
Okay.
And you were aiming, you know, and you could probably say, you know, even so you're aiming the way that you are, maybe you say you have like your night vision scope out, which cancels out, you know, what you're doing there, and then you have the simple success. You could still, even though things cancel out, you could still pull in the reasons why you brought maybe those dice into the dice pool as part of the narrative too, in some cases.
Yeah.
Right.
Like for instance, if perhaps my proficiency die had come up blank and I ended up succeeding because I had success on my boost die, could be because I took the time to aim is why I actually hit.
Yep.
Or if the reason why I failed is because I had one more failure and it ended up being on that black die, the cover absorbs the damage for me, the cover I might have, or the darkness affects their shot and they don't actually hit whatever it might be. They might be shooting at me with a bow and arrow or whatever.
Right. Yep. Absolutely, dude.
Yep.
That sounds good.
Okay. Well, what if I had rolled a triumph on my proficiency die?
Mm-hmm.
What does that count towards?
Well, the triumph counts as a success. You can count that as a success. But we also count it as a, I don't know, call it a critical success, an awesome success, something really special can happen, you know.
And can I fail and still have something really special happen?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That is the best part of this dice system as far as I'm concerned, when something like that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So Despair would then be the kind same the on the other side?
Yep. Despair is the same, but flipped. You know, it counts as a failure, and it counts as something really bad happening, or something really good happening for the bad guys, depending on which side of the GM screen you're sitting on, if you're using a GM screen.
Yeah,
and rolling
didn't use
behind
one today.
It. You didn't use one today? Oh yeah.
Nope. I ran Star Wars local game store today. It was great because I got to. This is the second time today I got to teach this dice system to someone.
That's excellent. So,
it really after, and this is what I told the young lady I was teaching today. It really after building a few dice pools, you'll get this system down. Mm-hmm. It'll take you a little while to learn how to read the chicken entrails or the symbols, but once you start. You have a way that you can read them, and you start if you just cancel dice out and remove them as you're canceling them, mm-hmm. it gets really easy to read after a while. And in fact, yeah, I'm one of those people now. I roll the dice, I look at them, and I usually have it within a couple seconds.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Me too. I mean, it's just a matter of just playing it and doing it. So speaking of building dice pools, dude, let's build one.
Okay. Okay.
So let me set it up for you. Let's set up a situation.
Sure.
You are that elven bowman that's out there. You're sneaking around, and you want to shoot somebody. Okay. They're about medium range away. They have a little bit of cover because of the trees and whatever. And you wanna make a shot. You know, you wanna shoot your bow. So where do we start, Tony? How do we build that up?
Well, first I'd look at my skill, as in everything in this system is a skill check. So you're going to want to look at your skill. And in this particular setting, I'm using
ranged. Yep.
So I look at my ranged, and it says it's agility based.
Okay.
So I look at my agility. My agility is a 3. Okay.
And how many ranks do you have in your ranged skill?
I have 1 rank in it. I'm not the best archer. I kind of spent a little bit of time as a youth practicing with swords too. So
nice. So in that case, so you have your skill, you have your ranks in your skill, you have your linked attribute. Then what we do is we compare those results. Whichever is the higher, you grab 3 greens, right?
Right. So my agility is 3. I've got 3 green.
Okay. And then you have the 1 rank.
Yeah, my ranged would change one of those to a proficiency die.
Giving you a chance for a triumph. That would be the proficiency die would be the yellow die.
Yep. So I'm sitting right now with a positive pool of one yellow, 2 green.
All right. And then me as a GM, I would say, okay, well, this guy's medium range away from you. So that'll be an average difficulty, which will be 2 purple.
Okay. Put those in the pool.
Now, are you aiming?
Oh, yes. I would definitely aim.
Cool. So you could take your maneuver and you can aim. So you're going to add a blue setback, or you're going to add a blue boost die. And then
I have another blue die for my finely crafted elven bow?
You know what? Absolutely. You had but you could put a setback die in there because it was a 3-page backstory, and I only asked for 1. No, I'm just kidding. but you can put a setback die in there because I said it is the foliage, the leaves, little cover. They have a little bit of cover, so throw a black setback die in there.
But I'm an elf, and I'm comfortable in the forest, and I have this talent that allows me to remove those.
And while you're shooting in the woods, all right.
If I'm shooting in the woods,
cool.
So I take that back out.
Sounds good to me, man.
Is this guy wearing any armor?
Yeah. You know what? He has a he doesn't look like he's looking at you, but he does have a shield in his hand. So that's gonna give it because he knows something's out there. So he is a little bit prepared. So go ahead and add a black in there because he's got 1 range defense.
So as of right now, we're looking at a fine looking pool. On the positive side, I have two blue dice, one of them for aiming and one of them for my fine elvish bow. Sweet. I have three positive dice, two of which are green and one of which is yellow from my range light pool.
Cool.
On the negative side, I have two purple and from the range and one black for his armor. Do we need any other modifications to it?
You know what? I'd like to, you know, you don't know whether there are other guys out there, and I kind of want to use one of these story points to turn one of those purples to a red.
Okay. All right. So I'm...
Let's do that.
And we will get into story points later, folks. But
absolutely. Or another podcast, so, another episode, maybe.
Oh, yeah. When I say later, it could mean 3 weeks from now, 3 months from now, or 3 minutes from now. I don't really know what I'm doing here.
No, we don't. But I'm good with it, with that,
okay.
with that dice pool.
Let's roll this puppy up.
Sure, let's see if you hit him.
Oh, okay. So I have, first of all, my conditional dice, two of them, came up blank. That is my black die, so his armor does not affect anything.
All right.
And my one of my blue dice, I'll say the one from my fine elven bow, didn't make too much of a difference.
Cool.
So on my positive die side, I had one success and three advantages.
Cool.
Oh, sorry. Total of five advantages. My bad. And my negative dice just rolled two threat.
All
so
right.
What does that mean? It means I had one success.
Yep.
And a net of three threat, three advantage.
Excellent.
So I hit.
Yeah, you did. You hit, and then from there you would, which would be probably another episode going into this stuff. But from there, then we would adjudicate what happened in the combat. You would tell me how much damage you did. You'd let me know how you would want to spend that advantage, and maybe in this case, I think the bows may have three advantage to do a critical injury on one of them. So,
but even if I didn't want to do the critical injury, mm-hmm. So maybe I wanted to have a narrative effect, like because his armor didn't come into effect on this, maybe I wanted to have the arrow hit him in the throat so he can't scream out for his companions.
Oh, I like that a lot. I like that. That's good.
Or something like that. Mm-hmm. Narratively, you can use those advantage in that way. Or maybe you want to narratively say that my friend the fighter over here is advancing, and I want to use that advantage to basically make them duck down and hide from archers so they don't see him advancing.
Perfect.
There's many ways we can use the advantage, mm-hmm. as a player, and that's one thing I wanted to say. The player gets to adjudicate. That's the one of the best parts about the system. The player gets to help adjudicate his own dice pool. He gets to determine what happens with his advantage and with his triumph, with the GM's help, of course.
Yeah.
And then the GM gets to decide what all those net negative dice results mean.
Right. And hey, you know, even if the player has an idea for something negative happening, I'd listen to it. I think I did at Con on the Cob. I think Jamie.
Oh, yes.
That very last roll that we had, I think he rolled a despair, and he decided I'm going to get sucked into the book. And I'm like, all right, sure, that's great. Do it.
That is something that, yeah, you can take a clue when your players are getting into adjudicating their own pain and suffering.
You have
done your job with this game system.
Okay,
because that means
so.
Everybody at the table is engaged in telling a dynamic story.
Absolutely.
And that's really what we love about this system.
Oh yeah. And this and these dice, the dice pool, this mechanic is just a means to that end, you know? There's a different ways of doing it. We've described the different kinds of dice that are here, what they represent, and the more you play, the more you create these dice pools and pull out the meaning behind them, you know, the easier it'll flow, the better it'll be. And I think the better game you'll have, and that's happened for me and Tony.
Oh,
both.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And there's guides out there I don't know if there is in the Genesis book. I never bothered to look for that and see if there is a how to spend your advantage and threat guide.
There is, they do have some, I think in the combat section, they have a couple of tables, you know, how to spend your threat, how to spend your advantage and triumph and all those kinds of things. But kind of basically the same, it was the same tables from the other system.
Okay. But Star Wars. Honestly, I mean, but, yeah. those are there as a hint
use.
They're not written in stone. That's not what that just gives you a guideline on how to spend your advantages, your threats, your triumphs, and your despairs. Mm-hmm. Quite honestly, as a GM, I don't even use it anymore. And most of my players don't either. I didn't, when I first started running the system initially, I handed that out as a resource to them and said, here, this will help. And then I realized that they were just leaning on it as a crutch. So I stopped, and instead I would just have it in front of me and I would make occasional suggestions. And that worked much better for me. And that's pretty much how I teach people now. And one last thing I wanted to discuss in this session section of the book, because we kind of lit on it a little bit, but we didn't really discuss what the varying difficulty levels mean of a task.
Oh, yeah, true.
There's five and potentially – I'm sorry – six, potentially seven different difficulty levels. The first one is simple. Mm-hmm. Simple checks are routine. They with the outcome is not in question, really. You're just trying to determine a level of success. And that's done with initiative. It's done with when you're trying to recover your strain. It's in very other rare occasions. That's a simple check. That is one with zero difficulty.
Right. Yeah. On page 18 of the Genesis rulebook, there is a table, table 1-3, difficulty levels. And there are six of them that Tony's going through right now.
Yeah, and a seventh one listed in the sidebar here.
Oh, the impossible. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So the next one, Chris, easy?
Next one is easy. That's like picking a lock, tending to like minor cuts and bruises. If you have, you want to make a medicine check, if you have less than half your wounds gone or something like that, finding plenty of food and shelter in the jungle or whatever, and shooting at short range would be an easy check.
Yeah. And then the next one after that is two purple difficulty. That's an average check. That is what most of your dice rolls, if you require a dice roll, most of the time, it's going to be this. Yeah. I almost always, you know, I just give people the peace sign every time they ask me what the difficulty is, because it's very average difficulty is it's there. It's called average for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. That's two. And like that was like our medium range shot.
Yep. And then next.
Next would be a hard check. That would be three purple dice. Now that's getting into something like picking a more complicated lock, maybe something that's down in like some, you know, maybe on a chest in some noble's house or whatever may have a complicated lock. Setting broken bones, shooting at long range is hard as well. Convincing somebody you don't even know to help you with something.
Okay. All right.
That's difficult. That could be pretty difficult.
All right. The next one here would be daunting. Mm-hmm. A daunting task is one that's getting up there. It's exceptionally, like picking an exceptionally sophisticated lock or performing surgery. Finding food and shelter in a desert or on a desert planet.
Good luck with that. Or anywhere in Dark Sun. Right.
We're on Tatooine last night with my friends. They went out and bought evaporator because they didn't want daunting checks to look for water.
Nice. That's good.
And then, of course, extreme range shots, your sniper shots are going to be daunting difficulty.
That would be shooting over the horizon. Right?
Sure. All right.
And then the last one here is called Formidable. That's five. That would be a fairly impressive opening up, I don't know, a bank vault that doesn't have really any handle on it. How are you going to do that? Well, hey.
Opening a timed bank vault, maybe?
A timed bank vault. Hey, that's right. Like at the end of Die Hard, right?
Yeah,
man. That's that. And then there's one, what is it? It says here, creating a genetic template to clone a new body. Yeah,
mapping
that's pretty
a human
tough.
Genome.
Mapping a human. No, well, not only mapping a human genome, but actually creating a human or creating a clone from it. That's daunting.
Yeah.
And then convincing your lifelong nemesis to give you a hand. That could be fairly formidable, dude.
Yeah. And then, so all those things are in the realm of possibility. The last one here in the sidebar, and it's one that is the impossible. It's the situations of extremely, like, no chance of success. For instance, scaling a perfectly smooth wall, or trying to tame a, this is my favorite example they list here, trying to tame a mother bear while you're standing between her and her cubs. Not trying to just calm her down, but trying to tame her.
With a meat necklace on, probably.
maybe. An impossible task doesn't add any more difficulty dice. What it does is it remains at 5 difficulty dice, but the GM determines that it's time for that player, if you're going to even make this check, you're going to flip one of your story points.
Yep.
And these should be extremely rare. I think in my year and a half long Star Wars campaign that I ran that went through the Force Awakens era, I think in that time we had 2 impossible checks.
Oh, wow.
And they failed them both.
Nice.
But they knew it was an impossible task before they even
tried.
But
nice.
They still wanted to. Yeah. And in fact, the last one, I had a Jawa gunslinger, and that guy, he was the character or the player is notorious for rolling triumph, and in his impossible roll that he made, he failed with despair and 2 triumphs.
Wow. Sounds like my roll the other night.
Which is just such a hard one to adjudicate, but they're so fun.
Yeah, it is. Most definitely.
So that pretty much covers the dice, don't you think?
I think so, yeah. And then, you know, how to use the... How to put the players in this situation going through combat and social encounters. We're going to cover that in another episode. But as far as the dice go, that's I think that's pretty much it. I think we pretty much covered it all.
All right, folks. Well, if you have any questions out there about these dice for Chris and I, please, I'll have the contact information here at the end of our podcast, and you can get a hold of us, ask questions. We'll gladly answer them.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, I think we're going to move on to my personal favorite section of our podcast here, the advantageous threats. What do you think, buddy?
Oh, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
All righty then. All right. Welcome to Advantageous Threats. I have a little scenario here. The way this works is I've written up a little scenario for Chris. Chris is either going to be the GM or the player. I'll tell him in my little scenario. I'll tell him what I rolled, and then he's going to figure out a cool way to spend the GM's portion of it. And I'm gonna come up with a cool way to spend the player side, or vice versa.
Perfect.
So the first one I have here is my character. I have to open this securely locked chest,
okay.
And my friends, they're fighting off this hideous monster in the background. Mm-hmm. We'll say it's a Pearson monster.
There we go.
They're fighting this thing off, and
got a huge nose.
It's only got one eye.
yep.
And so I've got all this pressure while I'm trying to open this chest to get whatever it is out, this the MacGuffin ring that we need to get out of the chest.
Absolutely.
And so I have I have a pool for my skullduggery. Skullduggery covers every thieving skill known to man, pretty much. And this is a 2 yellow, 1 green skullduggery pool. And Chris, as my wonderful GM, has given me a 2 purple. Is a 3 purple difficulty check, but he upgraded it.
Yep.
Making it 2 purple, 1 red.
Yep.
And 2 setback dice, one for the darkness and one for the distraction as my friends are screaming and dying behind me.
Absolutely.
So I rolled up my dice here and I got a result of 3 advantage and 1 despair. So what does this mean?
Well, first off, it means you didn't open a chest for one.
Okay.
So that's what the roll was for. The roll was to open up the chest, so you don't open it up. But what would you like to use your 3 advantage for?
Well, maybe I see a set of keys hanging on a ring nearby, across the room, maybe. They may or may not open the chest. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I see a set of keys.
I'm good with that. Yeah, you can head on over there and go grab those keys. But when you do, I'm going to spend this despair and have this chest attack you, because it's not really a chest, dude. It's a mimic, man. So you're gonna be fighting a mimic all by yourself because your buddies are fighting this other fight.
Lovely.
Welcome.
Lovely. Yeah, that would be a typical dungeon crawl.
and that would be exactly. And that would be an example of what a despair would do.
All right, roll initiative. You're fighting a freaking chest monster. Right.
exactly. I think my group on Friday nights have been calling. Oh, you need to throw a mimic at us. I'm like, all right, I'll do it. Sure,
but never do it when they expect it.
Exactly. All right. So
see, if I was GMing that, I would have made the keys the mimic instead of the chest. But that's just...
That was you? So that's how you would do it, huh? When you go grab the keys would attack you?
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. All right. Well, what do you got for me, buddy?
So what I have for you is... All right. So I'm going to be the character player this time.
Okay.
But my character, you've put us in a situation where we're being attacked by space pirates.
Okay.
And my character is the mechanic trying to make emergency repairs on the starship freighter. We've taken a lot of damage. You've made a pretty difficult. Going to be a pretty difficult check. With 2 yellow, 2 green, and then gave me a couple of boost dice on my mechanics pool, being that I'm using my own tools on the ship, and I'm in my own engineering section and such. But you do give me a 1 purple and 2 red difficulty with 1 setback die. So 1 setback because there's flickering lights. 1 difficulty upgrade because, you know, the ship's a piece of shit. But it's our piece of shit. All right?
All right,
and
all right.
We really haven't been to a proper space station in months.
All right,
okay?
All right.
So what I get is... and at this point, we have a critical injury that is, we do have a critical hit on us where our propulsion is damaged. So we're basically dead in the water while these pirates are coming on us.
Well, that's a bad situation. I wonder what kind of jerk GM would put you in that situation.
I know, who would do something like that? So my result is 2 success. 1 triumph, but a despair.
Ooh, okay. So as your GM, I'd say, first of all, you succeed.
Yeah.
And you can succeed on the major repair, getting rid of the critical hit.
Perfect. So our strain or our hull threshold was pretty much at the maximum, so we could pop that down a little bit. But I was gonna use my triumph to fix the critical hit.
Gotcha.
So that we can actually so we're not dead in the water anymore. So we can potentially get away from these space pirates.
I would totally allow that. Yeah, in this case, the successes would equal a few points of hull trauma that are fixed, and your triumph then would be that fixing of the critical hit. Now for the despair.
Yep.
Well, you know, when you make repairs on a starship, especially one that's a piece of absolute shit, you're going to want to reroute power sometimes.
Oh, no.
So, in this case, when you were rerouting power, your shields went down for one round. They're flickering, basically. Mm-hmm. And that will give, in a mechanic of the game, that would give the, in this case, the enemy pirates that are shooting at your ship, it's going to give them a free upgraded check to shoot at you next turn.
Dude, that's a bummer. I need to be a better mechanic. Darn it.
Well, you could have taken the power from life support, but I figured, yeah, you might like to breathe air.
Yeah, I think so too. Even though my guy probably would have a spacesuit on already, knowing.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. All right, well, that's our advantageous threats.
Yeah, so that's what you guys can expect. I think we want to do that every time.
Oh yeah, and they'll get fun. I'm gonna go out there and get some good examples for Chris. We like challenging each other with this stuff.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yeah, so that was pretty fun, dude. I like that.
So, you wanna wrap this thing up?
Yeah, let's wrap this thing up.
Okay.
Everybody, well, thank you for putting up with us for this this first episode zero, and hopefully we'll get this thing a little smoother coming towards you guys. But we're looking forward to this in the future. I'd like to give a shout out to the RPG Brewery out there, being run by Jamie Pearson, and he'll actually be on episode one with us. He's agreed to come on. We're going to talk about the magic system next time.
Yeah,
with him.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much sold him on that. So
I think that's what everybody's waiting for anyway, magic system. That's what enticed a lot of people and try this system. So
absolutely. Yeah. So we're going to be doing that. So Jamie, looking forward. Yeah. We're going to have that Pearson monster.
All right.
On the episode.
All right. I'll be sure to send some friends at him. Speaking of the RPG Brewery, he's going to be on tomorrow night with a bonus episode.
Yes, he is. That's right. Oh, that's right. You and I are going to be on there. I think we have to defend episode 8, right?
Oh, yes. We're defending a movie.
Yeah. He told me I'm kind of it. You're defending it. Neutral. I think I have to be neutral. I could do that. I think I could do that.
So look for us. That'd be tomorrow, Monday, January. What is tomorrow? January 8th.
January 8th.
And it's going to be live on Twitch. I can't tell you when, but you can find it on the Nerds International community.
Probably 7 p.m. I don't know.
I do.
No, actually, so. No, it's going to be, I think I got a notice for it. I think it's 9 Central. So 7. He says 7 p.m. real people time, which is Pacific time. So I think it'd be 10 o'clock your time.
10 o'clock Eastern time. Yep, that's
10 o'clock
my
Eastern time.
Time.
I'm in the central time zone, so 9 for me.
All righty then.
So how do these people get a hold of us, dude?
Well, we have a Facebook for Finding the Narrative. We're
do
out
we?
There.
Oh, awesome.
Yep.
That's good.
Also in the Nerds International Network as Finding the Narrative on Google+.
Excellent.
And we have an email account. It's findingthenarrativepodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, so send in your questions, your comments. Comments, good or bad. Feedback.
Yeah. If Gary wants to bust our balls, go right ahead, Gary. We love you.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. I think there was a comment out there on he made that it's, or other people were making, that people who play that GM the system are, you know, not creative. But we'll put a kibosh to that. We'll see.
All right. Well, all right. That's pretty much going to wrap it up for the entire show.
We're going to probably keep these to under an hour, which looks like we may have, depending. I don't think I have to really edit a whole lot out of here. I think we That's did good. Pretty good, dude. Wow, this is going to be awesome.
I know. We might have accidentally done something good.
We might have.
Awesome, all right. Bud. Well, until next time, I'm Tony, and I'll say keep rolling them bones.
Yeah, man, and I am Chris, and I want you guys to remember the rule of cool and just have fun. Take care, everybody.
Good night, folks.
Good night. Finding a Narrative podcast is not affiliated with or endorsed by any companies mentioned on this show. Any of the products mentioned on our show or appear on our website are the property and copyright of their respective owners. All items are used under fair use and educational and review purposes. All other items are the intellectual property of Finding a Narrative podcast. Copyright 2018, all rights reserved.